Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So I saw another trio of shows this past week, one on Broadway, one at Lincoln Center, where shows can also qualify for Tonys, and one at a prestigious off-Broadway house, finally back in business after the long intermission. The big one, playing at the Bernard Jacobs Theater, is the latest revival of Company. Stephen Sondheim did the music and lyrics, George First did the book. Now, this production actually started in London and is directed by the always inventive Marianne Elliott. The conceit here is that the commitment phobe lead character Bobby is now portrayed by a woman, also Bobby, but spelled the feminine way. Now, in a way, that makes sense since the action surrounds her 35th birthday, and let's face it, for women, that can be a pivotal clock-ticking age. I've always enjoyed Company and recall feeling very moved and entertained by it. This time, well, not so much. Though the biting sentiments are here about marriage, people you annoy together, children you destroy together. Who wants to go back? It's hard enough getting this far. As the great songs are here, as well. I'm Not Getting Married Today, Ladies Who Lunch, Side by Side, Marry Me a Little, and the all-important Staying Alive. But somehow for me, I don't know, it just didn't lift off. Many of the other roles have also switched genders, which works at times. Others seem stretched for laughs. They're going to think I'm pregnant, says one fellow to his partner. The star of the show is Katrina Lenk, who won the Tony for The Band's Visit. She's a lovely singer and actress, but not quite the powerhouse that Raul Esparza, for example, was in the last version. Which is why Patti LuPone, the biggest draw here, takes us to a different level. Now, as for the so-called politics of the show, well, my frustrated and astute daughter explained it this way. Usually it's a lost guy surrounded by lots of different kinds of women who know exactly who they are and what they want, flawed or not. By changing those parts, it became about what men want and a sad woman. Well, anyway, that was her take. Still, the diehard fans are eager to laugh and cheer the very idea of needing company in our lives, never a more timely concept. The production has had wildly diverse reviews. Most of the websites are positive. The New York Times was largely negative. I asked that critic, Jesse Green, if that gave him second thoughts. I'm happy that other critics liked the show and sorry that I did not, but both positions are valid, he said. I'm not even sure that the Times review matters uniquely or at all. Well, my sense is it still does, so let's keep an eye on how long Company stays alive. Meanwhile, at Lincoln Center's Vivian Beaumont Theater, Flying Over Sunset has also finally opened. It had, I believe, one rehearsal when COVID struck. This may be the oddest musical of the season. It's about Aldous Huxley, Claire Booth Luce, and Cary Grant getting together in Malibu, from where I am reporting today, ironically, to take an LSD trip together. Now, did this really happen? No, not like this, but all three did apparently play with that drug. What matters here is the music by Tom Kitt and the book by James Lapine, who was often a collaborator of Stephen Sondheim, of course. Lapine also directed the show, which runs about 2 hours, 40 minutes. The last original one he did at Lincoln Center was called Act One, which was a nice attempt that did not work. Well, this felt the same to me. It's very slow going, though, with some lovely moments and performances. The trio is portrayed by Tony Yazbek as Cary Grant, a.k.a. Archibald Leach, and that matters here. Harry Haddon Patton is Huxley, who believed, quote, life is lived in multiple dimensions. And most memorably, Carmen Cusack as the multi-talented Claire Booth Luce. The sets are spare but lush, if that makes sense. At one point, we are in the Pacific Ocean as one character is saved from drowning. At another time, we are in the Brown Derby in Hollywood. The most exciting number involves a girl named Atticus Ware as the young Archie in a tap dance with Yazbek. That brings down the house. The joint LSD trip takes the trio to dark and deep secrets in their lives. Illusion, says one, that feels more real than the rest. We are in the midst of a pharmacological revolution, warns another. There is some humor in the show. Why did you get back in the business? Cary Grant is asked after his short-lived retirement. Alimony payments is the answer. Are there things to admire while we go flying over Sunset, which refers to the Los Angeles Boulevard, where it is also slow going, by the way? Well, you will find some, but I don't think you will go out humming or passing the all-important word of mouth. My third show is at Playwrights Horizons called Selling Kabul. I am not sure how strong a play it is on paper, but this qualifies as a you-can-hear-a-pin-drop experience. We are in Afghanistan in 2013, where a local man who interpreted for our country is trying to escape that country and see and save his newborn son. There are four fine actors reading the words of Sylvia Khoury. Many good lines. Why do I have to take sides? Because someone always wins. It's not always easy to follow who is Taliban or who is escaping Taliban, but there is tension and mystery. And as for humor, well, I think the only time we took a welcome breath was to laugh at a line about Rochester. Go figure. Selling Kabul is at Playwrights Horizons through at least December. So now things start slowing down on New York stages. You know, we're heading into the new year, as we've discussed, and it's do or die for several plays. And the first to go, as predicted, Diana, the musical, will end its Broadway run on December 19th. So, Jill, I guess we've had enough of Miss Spencer already.
Well, I don't think it was her fault.
No, I don't think she would have expected all this.
I know. Turning that into the Rocky Horror Picture Show, I think was... never mind. But I've got to go back to Company for a second, because I just looked at the... I'm behind in my paper reading. But I'm really glad you saw it, because this has been my, shall we say, concern all along. I think your daughter... now, having read the review, we don't have to even nail her for being politically incorrect. It's like, it's just, this is the thing. And just because you, just because you swap the I'm going to go back
gender.
To Annie. It's not even swap. You know, like, there's colorblind casting, and there's colorblind casting. And it really requires a little bit of thought. And Annie was quite successful. You know, you didn't. I mean, just because.
Right.
Yeah, I'm referring to the
television
NBC,
version.
It was thin. It was blah blah blah. But the performers were, by and large, quite terrific, and these
are two. And by the way, this one is not. This is gender swapping.
I understand
specifically, not necessarily.
Right.
Multi, you know, the other, although there's plenty of that too, but. No, this is all about the gender thing, and it's complicated. You don't even know why, if it's bothering you. I don't know. For me, that didn't even bother me so much. For my daughter, it did at her particular age, and she said her friends feel the same way. Who knows?
Well, I was again struck by the New York Times review, which is basically, as directed by Marianne Elliott, however, in a gender-flipped version abetted by Sondheim himself, what was once the story of a man who is terrified of intimacy becomes something much less interesting, the story of a woman who is justifiably tired of her friends.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I loved his review. That's why I reached out to Jesse.
So I just on that, reviews are for what they're worth, but it's essentially the same sentiment that
it
your
is.
Daughter, I mean, it's articulated slightly differently, but it is what your daughter is saying. And when you sit down and write something, I guess it's like the first time you have, you know, if you do eat meat and you want a hamburger and someone gives you a tofu burger or a veggie burger instead, it's not the same thing. Now, for someone who only eats veggie burgers and tofu, it's the best.
Exactly. And I'm eager to talk to other people who've seen it. I walked out with a couple people I knew who were very disappointed in it. They were out-of-towners, actually. It's hard to. It's just hard to explain. The audience again was ecstatic, but that was an opening night crowd very happy, especially anytime Patti LuPone lifted a leg. You know, she got a standing ovation, which told me they were hungry for something. But again, you know, it's just sort of, it felt flat to me. Other people will disagree, and God bless them, and I hope they do, and I hope it stays up. I'm a big, you know, I'm a big Sondheim fan. Even some of the, I don't know, that was the most intriguing one for me, because frankly, it was the one I was most looking forward to. And I have to say I was disappointed. But now we'll see what happens next. It's a kind of a dry month or two. I don't think anything new in January. They're in previews. Michael Jackson musical has just started previews, so but that's not going to open probably till the end of January, I think, at the earliest. So anyway,
but stuff is cooking. So we'll see what lasts and what doesn't. Which typically is the December January game anyway.
It really is.
So
it really,
if one dares say it, oh, back to normal. I mean, this for as long as I've been paying any attention whatsoever, come this time, just sitting there going tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
That's right. January is a big month. The tourists go home. The people are still nervous, you know, about going out in big crowds. So you've got that double whammy. And I don't know. It's just a time for not a time for producers to get their new stuff out there. But there's plenty coming, you know, February on. And let's just let's hope, you know, the big one coming. You know, everybody's waiting for Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster. And they're already selling tickets now. The last time I saw, now they're selling for November of 2022, November. So they feel very confident. By the way, the movie version, a different subject, the movie version of West Side Story, I don't know if you've seen, did not do well in its first week or so.
And it did not do so well that it made the news, which I thought was really...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just regular, like, all right, who writes the news? But oh yes, and this, basically, I'm paraphrasing, oh, and this bombed. Was
yeah, which isn't fair. It's only
totally
theaters, and
totally
that's
unfair.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot of Oscar nominations whenever those come up.
But then, but once you've said it, you know, you've contaminated the data set.
And that's right. Oh, that's a bomb. I heard.
No, oh yeah, no, it's like, oh well, I was going to, but I really hear it's terrible. You know,
yeah,
then you've got to go to the next level of diehards, you know, of people who don't care. But I just, it's a really rotten thing to do, if anybody wanted my opinion. But
you know, there was somebody, I think it was Warren Beatty 100 years ago, who said the worst thing that ever happened to the movie business was when they started putting the results of the box office on the business pages, not in the movie section, in the business pages. I'll never forget that, because then it became a different thing. Then studios are only looking at what money it made. Forget about the content. You know, it became about the business. And suddenly we have to hear that West Side Story is not making money. You know, and we're forgetting about the fact that it's getting rave reviews and everybody, you know, it's about the movie, not about how much money it made. But I don't know. You know, now it's about both, as we know.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.